However, focus on your comments and we'll keep track of it.
This meeting is conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. A copy of the Open Meetings Law is posted on both exits. I will now call for roll call of the members.
Bozinger?
Here.
Poleska?
Here.
Neff?
Here.
Kading?
Here.
Hanson?
Here.
Fox?
Here.
Schroeder? Heinrich?
Here.
Okay, agenda item number 3, approve of the minutes. Is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Kading, second by Hanson to approve the minutes. Any additions to that? If not, please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
Agenda item number 4. I will open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit submitted by Kevin Penrod, 1227 Pinewood Drive, Blair, Nebraska, to place a garden shed in front of the primary structure on Lot 1 in Pinewood Estates, a subdivision in the city of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, for the life of the primary structure. Jeff.
Good evening, commissioners. Welcome to August. For your first consideration tonight is the condition use permit for an accessory structure in front of the primary dwelling. It's by Mr. Kevin A. Penrod. It's up in the Pinewood Drive subdivision. Mr. Penrod wishes to place a garden shed in front of the primary structure on Lot 1 of Pinewood Estates. Located at 1227 Pinewood Drive. The zoning district is RL, residential low density. In the RL district, accessory structures are admissible in front of the primary structure on lots greater than 45,000 square feet with the conditional use permit. Mr. Penrod's lot is 169,000 plus feet, and there is one other house or property in that subdivision that was granted the conditional use permit for an accessory structure in front of this, from the main dwelling. That was back in 2005. This is a quick zoning overlay. This shows the current address of the house up there. This of course is all the down to the dog leg down to the public road. So Mr. Penrod's property right here. All these dog legs are here because they need to get to public access. This from outside of the cul-de-sac is all private. This is the approximate location Mr. Penrod wants to add this garden shed. This is the existing address and the existing shed in front of the primary dwelling on the other end of the subdivision, 1220. You can see right there, there's a garage there. This is the area that he wishes to place a shed. It actually won't be seen because it's behind the trees. This is an approximate look at what the garden shed would look like. I did receive one phone call this afternoon from a neighbor in the Pinewood Estates. They have no problem with Mr. Penrod's plans to add the shed. However, they would not like to see any other sheds for the other places. I explained that if somebody else wanted a garden shed or accessory structure or whatever in front of the primary dwelling, there would be the same process where they would be notified. They would have a chance to discuss it then. And they reiterated that they did not have a problem with this plan right here. Any questions for staff?
Jeff, could you go back to the map where you show one more? Yeah, right there. So they actually, that's not a driveway down to there. It's a, they actually drive in up above, right?
Yes, they all have easements to allow each place access to this one shared driveway. This one goes here, serves Mr. Grace. And it looks like 1235, this one here. I believe their road going up this way. Their road goes off here. And then this, of course, this one's here. So it is a shared driveway, private drive, with three houses up.
And the shed is going to be, can you point about where you think the shed, no, on that map there.
They're looking at this area right here.
Right in there. I just wondered if it could be seen from the road or not. That's why I was looking there.
So they look right here. I think that's approximately here behind the trees.
Okay.
And when you go to that, looking that direction,
okay,
I think it's going to be blocked.
So what's considered the front of the house?
We usually try to look at the front by whatever the access would be. So if they're looking at the access down here, we're going to probably pretty much include anything in front of this corner down this way.
So the access to the house isn't from that side?
No.
From the access to the public road is down here. So okay, we're, like all these houses here, anything looking down this way, we would look at being in front of the house.
Okay.
Not necessarily where the front door is, kind of where it's in relationship to public access.
Thank you, Jeff. Does anyone have questions of the applicant? If you want to talk to the applicant, I can bring him, we can come up.
I do not.
Unless the applicant would like to speak, I don't know if we really need to talk to you, but if you'd like to speak, come on up, please.
My name is Kevin Penrod, P-E-N-R-O-D, and I'm the homeowner at 1227 Pinewood Drive. I think you've already answered my question. And it was probably a misunderstanding on my part. I just wanted to point out the property at 1227 Pinewood, as you can see from the picture, the front of the house faces that way. So actually, the shed's going in what would be characterized under normal conditions as the backyard. But he cleared up that question. That's the only thing I had to say.
Yeah, I think it's considered the front yard because it's that's where the street's at. So,
that's
any more questions of him? Thank you. Is there anyone else that would want to speak on this issue?
I'm Betsy Anderson, and I live at 1235 Pinewood. And
spell your last name, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N.
Thank you.
I would like to add that we have an architectural committee for our neighborhood, for Pinewood Drive, and we have three people that are on that committee, and those three people went out, and there were no disagreements or there were no comments made to prohibit or against Mr. Penrod's wanting to put this shed, and everybody is in agreement that the shed is... That's fine.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing, and what does the commission want to do?
I'd recommend approval of the conditional use permit.
Second.
Life of primary structure. That's what I just presented. Motion made by Hansen, second by Heinrich, to approve the CUP as presented. Any more questions or comments? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So motion carries. It'll go to the city council next Tuesday.
I beg your pardon?
It goes to the city council next Tuesday.
Okay.
At the city council meeting. You understand that the city council is the one that actually approves this. We just recommend.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to agenda item number 5. I will open a public hearing to consider a lot split application submitted by Kathleen O. Flynn, apartment 2H, 805 North 22nd Street, Blair, Nebraska, for a lot split of tax lot 80 lying in the southeast one quarter of the southwest one quarter of section 1, township 18 north, range 11 east of the 6 p.m., city of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, lot 9 in the Ridgewood Estates, in addition to the city of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, 907 Flynn Drive. Jeff.
Thank you. For your next consideration tonight is the lot split application. It is up here in off of Adams and Flynn Drive in the northeast part of the city. The property located at northwest corner of Adams and Flynn Drive. The zoning district is RF, medium density. So this is a little bit different than any other tax lot we've done because, as I explained this, I'll try not to get too wonky again. The lots are actually joined together by contiguous partial agreement, not necessarily platted. There's still two separate lots and two different subdivisions and the tax lot itself. So bear with me at this. Please ask any questions if I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. So tax lot 80, which is attached to lot 9 of the Ridgeview Estate subdivision. Tax lot 80 is not part of the Ridgeview subdivision. It's attached this way by use of a contiguous partial agreement on the lot's plat that was approved in October of 1997. When this lot split came into being in 1997, there was a tax lot 17 that was split. It was resulted in tax lot 79 and tax lot 80. Tax lot 80 is a non-conforming lot, smaller than it should be, but by the way we do things where it's as long as it's attached right away to another lot, just like we did a couple of meetings ago, it's allowable. So the applicant of the new applicant wishes to sell tax lot 80 back to who is now the owner of tax lot 79. 79 is contiguous to tax lot 80. There's nothing built on tax lot 80. There's no encroachment of any kind from lot 9. All the setbacks are correct. But because this contiguous partial agreement was on the plat and not as a separate document like we will have now, Attorney Solomon and City Administrator Storm suggested that the best way to do this, since it was voted on by Planning Commission and Council back in 97, and to remove it from this plat should also be voted on by Planning Commission and Council. A new conditional partial agreement has already been signed of the current owner of tax lot 79, which will become attached upon the purchase of tax lot 80. Let me go through the diagrams, make the things a little bit easier. Here's the zoning overlay RM. Here's the lots we're talking about, 907 Flynn, and then this one right here. This is the original plat from 97. Here's where tax lot 80, which that time was track 2, was split off from here. There's still houses, still the same, setbacks are still the same. This would have been lot 9 of Ridgeview Estates. Again, these are not part of a subdivision, they're tax lots. Right here is the contiguous partial agreement, which was added to the plat. This simply says what the agreement is, signed by the owners. So tax lot 80 is right here. If you split this off by simply getting rid of the contiguous partial agreement, it does not create a new tax lot, does not create any new legal words. Everything will still be there. All it means is that it will not be attached to lot 9 anymore because you have taken it off that plat as a CPA. Again, the owner of tax lot 79, which has purchased that, has already filled out a contiguous partial agreement. It will be substandard, but because of that CPA agreement, he will attach it upon purchase. This is what the tax lot looks like, basically from this tree here to this area here. I've walked the property, I've measured the deck. There's been no building, no other encroachments, so it really is a free and clear lot if you so choose to remove the contiguous partial agreement from the plat. Any questions?
Well, we have to then have them come back from tax lot 79, come back to add that on to that one? Or does that all get taken care of right here, right now?
So pretty much right here, right now, because now when we do things as a contiguous partial agreement as a separate document. It has nothing to do with plats. It's not voted on. It's a standard fee. It just simply says this is now attached. What a CPA does is really removes any interior boundaries, so you can build across the line, you know, encroachment, whatever else. Of course, once that is done, you'll never get it back unless you return it to the first time. In this case, nothing was ever encroached upon from the lot. So it's really still tax lot 80 without any sort of buildings on it. Again, the thought was that this was voted on as a plat by Planning Commission and Council, and it should be up to Planning Commission and Council to remove it, not administratively.
Any more questions of staff? Is the applicant here? Would you like to explain what you're doing?
I'll speak on behalf of Kathleen. I'm Karen Gangenbach, G-E-N-G-E-N-B-A-C-H. Kathleen is my mom, she's there. And so the Flynns, the old Flynn farm, my dad, unbeknownst to all of us, set up that contiguous parcel agreement years ago, and he has passed on. And so my mother has sold her property, or is pending a sale, and the owner didn't want that extra lot. But our good neighbor, Pedro Camargo, who has lived next to my mom and is currently taking care of that, it's just grass and trees, he would love to have that attached to his lot, which is, again, not in Ridgeview Estates. So we have a purchase agreement with Pedro. If all this goes through, then that little strip of land will be Pedro's with his care. And my mom's new owner just has tax lot 9. So it seems like a pretty simple matter, but it was complicated because we had never heard of contiguous parcel agreement before. And the city has done a good job of maneuvering a way to move forward. So we would appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Is there any questions of the applicant? Thank you. Is there anyone else here who would like to speak on this subject? Come on up. Oh, you. I thought you raised your hand. That's all right. Anybody else? Then I'll close the public hearing. And what does the commission want to do?
I move to approve the application as written.
Moved by Fox. Is there a second? Who? Hanson. Neff has seconded it.
Yep.
Any more questions about this? Please vote.
Oh, I never took it off.
You just leave it on.
Council members voting aye, Bozeger, Haleska, Neff, Hanson, Heinrich, abstaining, Fox, and Kading.
I didn't abstain.
And Fox didn't.
I'm sorry, I messed up my little thing here.
There you go.
Okay.
Voting aye, Fox.
So this lot switch passes, it'll go to the city council next Tuesday. Thank you. I'll open a public hearing to consider a preliminary plat application submitted by Diane and Gary Wehrle. Wehrle? Okay. 14933 State Highway 91, Blair, Nebraska, for the outskirts subdivision, lots 1, 2, 3, being a platting of tax lot 49 lying in part of northwest quarter of the southwest quarter of section 9, township 18 north, range 11 east of the 6 p.m. Washington County, Nebraska. Jeff.
Thank you very much. Your final consideration tonight is a preliminary plat. The Wehrle property is located about 1.75 miles west of Blair itself, within our 2-mile ETJ, extraterritorial territorial jurisdiction. Current zoning is district is ag. The Wehrle's wish to create 3 tax lots out of tax lot 49. Lot 1 will be 3.79 acres, lot 2, 4.47, and 3, 5.73. If approved, the zoning district will have to be rezoned to rural residential estates. That would happen in the next month if this is approved. All lots are compatible at 3 acres because they're all greater than 3 acres, which is the minimum for RRE without city water or sewer. All existing buildings will meet the setbacks for RRE if it changes that. Lot 49 currently has a conditional use permit for an additional dwelling unit for like a farmhand. Unfortunately, this conditional use permit will end when the land changes to RRE. CUPs tend to run with the land, however, in this case, the land is actually changing, will no longer be our ag. So in that case, this CUP will become null and void, they'll be given ample time to make arrangements. There's a 33-foot right-of-way that will be dedicated to the county along County Road 27, which borders Lot 1. This is in keeping with the county's wishes as these subdivisions are created. And all lots do have access to a public road. This is the tax lot in question. This is the zoning. You see the city of Blair is here. It is surrounded already by RRE zoning. This is an overview of the actual property itself. In some ways, with this going to a subdivision, being subdivided, we actually have three dwellings on this one parcel, which these days you could not do. By subdividing this, we will be able to solve that problem. This, unfortunately, will be the one that will have to go away according to the rules of RRE, because they're just not allowed anything but ag at this point. This shows the preliminary plat. We did receive a comment from the county surveyor that he wanted a couple things changed, make sure the 33-foot right-of-way was marked and a couple other things. Other than that, we've heard nothing back from fire, schools, county roads. So a little more in-depth look, this would be Lot 1. You can see that the dividing line is here. So they have to create the one house within one parcel. Lot 2 will have the second house, so that cleans that up. And then Lot 3 has nothing out now but farmland, and we chose to keep farm in it because that is allowed in RRE and most other of our districts if it's been there from the start.
Jeff, we back. Lot 3, is there direct access off of 91?
Technically, this is all 91. This is all their access there. They would need to have, they could get a permit from the state for an entrance. However, they're working now. This right here is Hannah Lee Lane, which is a dedicated road in a subdivision to the east of this lot here. So this RRE area here, you can see this is a dedicated road. Now this subdivision...
You mean over there?
Over there.
Right there.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
This subdivision, nothing really been built on that. There's a gate across it right now, but this will be their legal access. However, they are also in the this is a private matter, so it's okay if they do this. They're also going to make sure they have an easement from that access point. So, you know, technically they'll have an easement granted by these people here who own Hannah Lee, plus that will be their access to Highway 91, the public road, because that is a dedicated public road.
Can you go back again, Jeff? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay.
You can see right now the farmer is using the gates right here. The farmer actually just goes around it to this area here.
So on this picture here, that 14935, that's something that may eventually have to be removed,
yeah,
because that's the extra.
Yeah, that is the mobile home for the farmhand relative that will go away.
So, yeah, the white building, that's going to stay. That's something that can be there, right?
That's a shed,
right? Like this, and of course like this, which will create the three lots. Lot 1, Lot 2, Lot 3.
That lot, is that going to have two front yards, or is that considered that way, or is it the front yard only being out on the
on the county road?
This lot area, it will have two fronts. It will have a double front.
Because that's why I was wondering about that shed. That's going to be on one of the front yard.
Yeah, second front, as long as it stays intact, if it becomes destroyed,
okay.
More than 50%,
okay.
So percent, they will not be able to build there again in that area.
Okay.
Now all of the buildings and all that are grandfathered in the uses up until they're no longer there. And to be honest, I would have to look at the regulations again to find out what the side yard setback are for a second building also. So There's never a backyard when there's a corner lot. There's a front yard and a side yard. When you turn it this way, there's a second front and a side. We have specific rules for corner lots. I never like to quote the book unless I can see it in front of me, so. That may or may not be okay. Might be 3 inches too close, but as long as it never goes away, it'll be okay no matter what.
Be grandfathered, yes.
Yes.
Jeff, on that lot one.
Yes, sir.
The mobile home, is that, at this point, is a special use permit?
Yes, sir. Yes. Conditional use permit was just recently renewed, I think last year for 15 years. But again, because the land is changing itself, it's no longer going to be ag land, it's going to be RRE.
So that goes away.
Will not be permitted at this time, so.
And somebody has to hook onto that trailer and drag it off, huh?
Whatever.
The Worleys do know about this. We've had discussions on it. We've explained how everything would be changing. Attorney Solomon and Mr. Storm on, will it stay with the land or does it land change? Does it change? It was decided the Attorney Solomon said that it's going to have to change because of the land. So we discussed a lot. We put some thought into it. We've talked to the Worleys about it too. Everybody is aware of what will happen. It may create some hardships, but the zoning is the way it is.
So we don't have to have anything in our wording on this that says that it has to be removed or anything.
No,
it'll just
no,
be part of the land, so.
No, we don't need to do that. That is because the CDP is a separate issue, and it goes away. Nothing to do with you tonight.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Can we go back? Okay.
One or two?
Seven. All right. So just as a point of information, with all of this grandfathering that's going in and so forth, there's a well on lot one, mm-hmm. and water is going to the next lot to the east. Does that get grandfathered in, or are they going to make a new well? What happens with water in that case?
There were probably...
That can continue like it is. They can have a shared well.
Okay.
You have it in a number of places. The only time that it would become a problem is if you was in an area where it would create enough residents that you would become a public water system.
Yeah.
Then it would create some other issues for them as far as having to meet certain state standards and so forth. But for a well, if somebody thinks a well out here and two or three people share it, there's not an issue relative to that.
Thank you.
Now, somewhere in the future, if somebody wants to buy this and they don't like the fact that they have to share a well, that's, again, it's a private decision.
And building on that, lot three, if someone wants to build on that one, they either got to put a well in or they'd have to go with
extend
this well. Extend
the line
on this one, right? If someone buys lot three.
They'd probably end up having to do their own well and septic. Okay. So.
Okay.
It would be advisable probably to do their own well. Yeah. Something they'll probably have to do because of the state regulations.
Okay. Any more questions of Jeff? Is the applicant here that would like to speak?
Diane Merle, WEHRLI, 14933 Highway 91. Anybody have any questions regarding this? Our daughter's planning on building in lot three, and she will have early. Did you have
I'm Gary Morley, WEHRLI. I don't know if you guys realize how much money we have in that mobile home we have sitting there, and it's been well taken care of. I mean, we had sewer power brought in, and propane, the whole nine yards, phone. So we got a lot in sewer, so we got a lot of money invested in it, and you know, we just got the permit renewed. So it's really kind of a shame that we can't work something out to where, you know, because we have relatives living in it that does help us out. So that's my thoughts on it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak on this issue? This seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and commission. Oh, wait a minute.
Jeff, just to clarify something.
Sure.
With the change in zoning, then that mobile home has to go away.
Correct. A mobile home that they're using it for now, they use for a farmhand relative, is allowed by conditional use permit in ag only. So as it goes to RRE, that is not a permitted use. It will have to go away. Now, they do have one option, and there's an option for a book change in the zoning book itself. Really nothing to do with you at this point, because it's not part of this plat. But their one option would be to pay for a book change, and of course that would be voted on by Planning Commission Council at a future date. It's $550 non-refundable. They'll make their case and wait for votes if they do decide to go with that. But that is their one option. They do know that option also.
So if that lot one were to be 5 acres, it could stay then?
Minimum.
The zoning could stay?
Minimum acreage for ag is 10.
Okay.
And they have worked as much as they could to try to figure out how to make this plat work with keeping that lot at least 10, but it's just not enough land.
Are the owners looking at doing a book change? I mean, that you've discussed? Is that what they're looking
for? We've been discussing it. There's been no decision. I asked them. Oh, we were talking a little bit about it tonight. We said, let's wait for the meeting to go over tonight. We've discussed it a little bit, but no hard and fast agreement yet.
No.
There's nothing comparable out of the RRE for that?
Not in RRE, there's not. There's one other condition use permit out there for a situation like they have, and that is south of town, but that is in ag. So there's nothing like this in any other district allowed at this time.
Anybody else in the public hearing? Then I'll close the public hearing. Comments or questions or decisions by the commission? Go ahead, Joe.
I don't have questions. I understand splitting the lots and what they want to do. It's a shame though on that mobile home it is, but it is what it has to be. So they can address that down the road.
Yeah.
If they want to split the lots, that has to happen. So
anything else?
That's it for me.
Anyone want to make a motion?
I'd recommend approval of the preliminary plat application.
Second.
Approval by Hansen, seconded by Pleska. Anything else? Any more discussion? Please vote.
Commission members present voting aye.
So this will go to the City Council next Tuesday.
Thank you.
Okay. I have to scroll down. Someone's report from staff.
Nothing on there. We do have two lot splits coming up for the September Planning Commission meeting. We may have some ordinance changes in there also, but at the very least, there will be two lot splits on the September agenda.
Thank you.
At this time.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Heinrich, second by Kading to adjourn.